All right, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6, and verse number 19 through to 21. A very familiar chapter, very familiar verses, but hopefully can be a challenge to us all, as it was a challenge to me. All right, well, Matthew chapter 6, let's have a read of this. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've entitled this message, The Profitable Christian. The Profitable Christian. You know, the average person, they say, when I looked it up on Google, they say the average person lives to be about 72.6 years old. Just average. Some people die younger. Some people die when they're older. But at the end of the day, even if we live to be 100, or even if we live to be 1,000 years old, what is that compared to eternity? It's nothing. It makes 1,000 years, it makes 1,000,000 years look like nothing. It just doesn't even exist. And as Christians, we must ask ourselves individually, with the short amount of time that God has given me on earth, but we ask ourselves this, with the short amount of time God has given me on earth, what am I living for? What is my focus and attention on in life? And you know, many people in this world today, you know, they spend their whole life is totally focused on living for themselves. You know, they spend so much of their time trying to get earthly wealth and trying to get a better job and better this and a bigger car and all of these things. So much focus on themselves. But they often don't realize that once they die, they're going to leave it all behind. And it's just a waste of time. And I want to see in these verses, we are given some instruction that God gives us to live a more profitable and successful Christian life. So I want us to see first that earthly treasures are temporary. Earthly treasures are temporary. We see in verse 19, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, the word treasure there in this verse, in verse 19, is primarily referring to earthly treasures. You know, our possessions or something we love and live for in this life. You know, this treasure, like I said, this could include things like our house, our car, our job, our money, and pretty much just everything else we accumulate in this life. And we see in the beginning of the verse, Jesus was talking here, and Jesus starts with a command. He says, lay not. It's the very first thing he says, lay not. Or in other words, do not lay up. Do not accumulate treasures on earth. Do not spend your life hoarding up treasures on this earth for yourself. And then he gives us some reasons. He goes straight into, right after he says, do not do that, he gives us some couple of reasons. He starts by saying, one of the first things we see is that earthly treasures get corrupted. Right? You see in verse 19, in the middle of verse 19, he says, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Now, the Moorish Bible Dictionary gives a good example of this, of the word moth. He said, In the East, garments were kept in larger quantities as property and for presents. And when Naaman the Syrian brought changes of garments as a present to Elisha, of which Gehazi obtained two of them, that's in 2 Kings 5, verse 22, moths do not attack the clothing that is worn, but they lay their eggs in what is laid up, in which the young find their food. From this, the lesson is drawn to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt or destroy. So I thought that was very interesting. Job chapter 13, verse 28 says, so I waste away like something rotten, like a garment eaten by moths. It's another example where he's talking about the garments, because that was a common thing that happened in those days. But back in the Bible days, clothing was very valuable to them. You know, unlike today, it's so easy for them just to make clothing. We don't see it in the same sense. But for them, you know, they cherished it, and it was like their treasure. Especially if you're a king, you know, you had your nice garments, and all these things. And so a problem was the moths would eat the garments away. So so we basically just see Jesus is, now obviously we don't, like I said, we don't particularly struggle with moths eating our clothes away. But we do, or, you know, anything else that's valuable to us. But there are many things in life that can be destroyed, like our treasures. Like your treasures could be destroyed by a fire. Yeah, it could be a flood or even simply just broken when dropped. You know, anything like that. So we can see Jesus is just trying to get a point across that our possessions can be destroyed. It can be eaten away, dissolved into pieces, corrupted. You know, it's not eternal. And we also see the word rust. The same principle here. He's just saying that our treasures will rust away and just get corrupted. A good example of that, as we all know, you know, you buy a new car and a couple of weeks, months later, it's all scratched and starts rusting. And eventually the car will just rust away over the years and years, you know, as we all know. And the whole point is that nothing lasts on earth. Nothing. Everything over time. Doesn't matter if it's the Great Pyramids of Giza. They'll eventually give it some time. They will fade away. It's always something to spoil the treasure. And we see in the same verse, Jesus is trying to get another point across. You see, earthly treasures can be stolen. That's another thing. In the end of verse 19, he says, and where thieves break through and steal. So not only can our treasures be corrupted, but they can be stolen. You know, you could have the most expensive house filled with the most expensive things, but someone could still break into your house and steal all those things. And you know, there's no guarantee that your treasure will be safe. And it's like that in life. It seems the more riches people have and the more they have, the more stressed out they are that they're going to lose it all. You know, especially if they have like 10 fancy million-dollar cars. I'm sure they're pretty stressed that they're going to destroy or lose their cars. And it's just very sentimental to them. but, you know, it's much more than just someone stealing our treasures or your treasures getting corrupted or destroyed. You know, everything we own in this life will be left behind. That's another thing. We're left behind when we die or when the Lord comes back. And, you know, we have no guarantee when that will be. But it could be today, it could be next week, next month. but we just don't know. We just don't know. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 to 8 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It's a great verse. You know, once we die, we'll leave it all behind. We can't take anything with us to heaven. You know, you can spend your whole life making money, building a bigger house, getting a better car. You can just have nicer things in life, but you could lose it all in seconds. Like I always like to say, a lifetime to accumulate, a second to lose it all. So we first saw earthly treasures are temporary. Earthly treasures are temporary. That's what he's trying to get across. It doesn't last. I want us to secondly see in verse 20 that heavenly treasures are eternal. Now he goes to the other side and he's saying, okay, heavenly treasures are eternal. You see in verse 20 he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You notice the word but. He starts with a but. Yeah, we saw, obviously, like I said, Jesus started with a do not. He first said, lay not, do not. Now he turns around and says, but, in the contrary, do this. You know, the word treasure here in this verse is not necessarily referring to a physical, sentimental thing we have on earth, but it's rather referring to a treasure in heaven. An example of how we can lay up some treasures in heaven is by the things, I like to think about the things we do for God, and that's things like sharing the gospel, you know, winning souls to Christ, worshipping God, reading the Bible, giving to God and tithing, living out God's commandments, and God will reward us in heaven for all these things. You know, it also talks about the crowns. There's the crowns we're going to win, the crown of life, the incorruptible crown, and there's also a few other crowns that it mentions of things God says we can do and we can get if we live a life pleasing to Him. We see in 1 Corinthians, I'll show you some verses that talk a bit more about the treasures here and also some rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know it, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, Matthew 6, 1 to 4, he says, Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, nor be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have their glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And then the last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 15. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as by fire." So we see these verses talk a lot about rewards and God saying he will repay the things we do for him on this life. Jesus says we need to lay our treasures in heaven. He gives us some reasons why. He also gives us some reasons in this verse. He goes in the next bit of in verse 20. He says, "Heavenly treasures do not corrupt." He says, "Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt." And all these treasures and rewards we will get in heaven obviously will not get affected like they do on earth. There's no moth, there's not rust that can corrupt and destroy these treasures. They're laid up in heaven for all eternity for us when we go to be with God. And we also see that heavenly treasures cannot be stolen. Same verse, "And where thieves do not break through nor steal." The rewards God has for us in heaven cannot be accessed by thieves. It is kept for us ready for the day we are with God. But as I was reading this, I believe it's much more than just some physical treasure in heaven. And you'll see what I mean by that. I think personally the greatest reward as Christians is that we will be with God. When we go to heaven, we will be with God, the maker of the universe for all eternity. And I think that's an amazing thing. Instead of going to the lake of fire, which we deserve, that's something every Christian can look forward to, the fact that they can see God and they can live with God. And that's a good reward. Another thing, I thought this was also a really good one, is the reward of being able to see other people in heaven that we have led to Christ. I think that would be an amazing thing, knowing that we were able to share the gospel with someone and we see them in heaven and know that not only are they in heaven, but they could have spent an eternity burning in a lake of fire. And I think that would be a reward in of itself. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. And I think that's why I think that's why Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, he says, "And he said unto him, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I think that's one of the things, I think that's the main thing as Christians God wants us to do. Like, he wants us to not just live a Christian life, but share that Christian life. As we mentioned this morning, let the world know. Because there's people out there that need to know. Because otherwise they'll just end up going to hell. And it's our job. You might not have much on this earth. You might be really poor. But if you're a Christian and lived a fruitful Christian life serving God, you'll have rewards in heaven laid up for you. He promised that. God promises us that. Rich people, as we see today, they might have everything. They have money and fame and a big mansion and a fancy car, the best job and pretty much anything their heart desires. But if they do not know Christ, and they haven't lived a life pleasing to God, as Christians, who haven't lived a life pleasing to God, they will have no rewards waiting for them. They'll either be in hell, or when we do get to heaven, God won't have much rewards for us. Like you mentioned, the wood, hay, and stubble, those precious metals. So God's going to judge us one day for the things we've done for Him. And we don't want to, get to heaven and have nothing. That'd be very shameful. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Now, that's a great verse for that one. You know, as Christians, we don't want to live a life seeking earthly treasure for ourselves, because one day we will go to heaven, and we do not want to get there and have no rewards for us in heaven. Like I said, that would be a very sad thing. We want to hear God say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I think that would be, like Pastor mentioned many times, we don't always grasp. I don't think we grasp that sometimes, like being able to stand in front of God and Him not saying to us, "Well done." I think that would be a very sad thing if He doesn't say that. So I know we should all have that desire for God to say to us, "Well done." We should live a life, fully dedicated to God, serving God. And, that's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's very challenging because we don't always see our rewards on earth. You know, we do lots of things. For example, like we tell other people about Christ. And, they tell us to go away. They might even yell at us and get angry. And, it's just very discouraging sometimes. But we need to just remember, one day we will all die. And the person who lived a selfish life will end up in hell, in the lake of fire, and that will be his reward. As Christians, if we lived a life pleasing to God, we will have rewards in heaven. And God will be able to tell us, "Well done." And that would be a great thing. Now, as Christians, we need to just learn to just live a life, just be content with our circumstances. It's not easy to be content with what we have. But I think Paul gives us a good example of this. I thought this was a really good verse, challenge to me for sure. It's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 to 13. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, that was a really great verse. God is the one who can help us. God is the one who can help us to be content. He can give us the grace and the strength we need in this life. And just to live a life being happy with what we have. We're not living like a selfish life, just trying to get everything we can for ourselves, but rather live a life to God, and He will supply our needs. So we saw firstly that earthly treasures are temporary. Then we saw secondly that heavenly treasures are eternal. And then lastly, I want us to see that choice of treasure is necessary. Choice of treasure is necessary. You cannot choose both. And I want us just to look at the verse 24 in the same chapter, Matthew 6 and verse 24. He says there in verse 24, same chapter, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." The word mammon there, that always got me when I was younger, but the word mammon here is, at least in context, he's referring to particularly the idol of our heart. The thing, particularly like in the context, he's talking about materialism, but a good definition I thought that was the idol of our heart. Anything in our heart that we put in, before God. And he says, Jesus was saying, we cannot serve two masters. You will either hate one master and love the other, or you will hold the one and you will despise the other. And then he ends saying, you cannot serve God and mammon, or materialism. In the context of treasures, he's saying you cannot live for God. Cannot live for God, and lay up heavenly treasures. Right? While at the same time, live for yourself and lay up treasures on earth. You know, we must make a choice. We must make a choice of what treasures you're going to lay up. A choice of what you're going to live for in this life. And it is a choice. You know, we choose what we do from day to day. You know, even this coming week, we don't know the future, but we kind of know what we want to do. We have plans, like go to work, do this, all these things. And so that's why I think it's a choice. It has to be a choice in our heart of what we want to do. A good example of making a choice is kind of like our missionaries. I thought, because it's Missions Month, I thought I'd chuck this in here. They had to choose as missionaries to leave their homes, as Brother Shaw mentioned this morning. They had to leave their homes. Many times they have to leave their families or like relatives and all these people, all their friends, they have to leave them. And pretty much leave everything they own. I mean, they could take a few things with them and some money, but they have to sell all their stuff. And they have to go off and live in a foreign land, telling others about Christ. And, you know, at the end of the day, they had to make that choice. That was a choice. They decided, okay, I mean, obviously with God's leading, they made that choice. I am going to leave and I'm going to go here. And, you know, it's the same for us. We must choose which treasure we are going to lay up in this life. It's just a choice. We must choose. What are we going to lay up? Earthly treasure for ourselves or heavenly treasure? And I want us to also see that your choice, will follow your heart. We see in verse 21 there, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, if you're living a life laying up treasures for yourself on earth, that is where your heart will follow. If you're living for that, that's where your heart's going to go. And if you're living a life pleasing to God and serving Him and laying up treasures in heaven, your heart will be set on the things in heaven. A good verse for this was Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. That's a great verse for that one. And, you know, I just want us to understand also, God's not saying, He's not saying that we can't have anything in life, right? He's not saying, you know, sell all you have and be homeless and live on the street. But He is saying that we should not choose to set our heart on things on this earth, but rather set our heart, and our affections on things above. And, you know, God, at the end of the day, God wants our heart. That's what He's after here. He wants our heart. That's kind of what Jesus was trying to get across. You know, He knows at the end of the day that having these treasures is going to be a temptation for our hearts to set our affections on those things. We see in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 to 12, he says, this is a couple of verses, but they're really good. I thought this was excellent for this chapter. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. He talks about the love of money. Not money itself, but the love of money, because that's where their heart's set. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. I thought that was an amazing verse there. You know, we must be careful on what things our heart is set on in this life. We must be careful. And lastly, I want us to see we must choose wisely by controlling our heart. I think that's important. Choose wisely by controlling our heart. And to do this, I got some four ideas of four ways I think we can do this. And the first one is we must examine our hearts. We must examine our hearts. Look at your own heart and ask yourself. Ask yourself, what is my heart set on? Things above or things below? And then ask yourself, what am I living for in this life? You know, earthly wealth or for the future in heaven? And then another question, what treasures am I laying up? You know, if you just look around, like, what do you think you're laying up? Like, if somebody asks you what treasures are you laying in heaven or basically, what are you doing for God? What would you say? It's a good question. I ask myself that often. You know, ask yourself, what am I doing for God today that will count for eternity? Very good question. You know, am I hoarding up corruptible treasures on earth, or am I laying up heavenly treasures? And then secondly, we must cleanse our heart. Cleanse our hearts. You know, if we're living for ourselves, we must ask God to forgive us. And then we must change how we live and what we're living for. You know, very simple, but I think it's very important. First we have to see what we're living for, and if we see we're living wrong, then we need to ask God to forgive us. And then thirdly, I want to say, we must yield our hearts. Yield our hearts. You know, once we ask God to forgive us, we must then yield our hearts to God and stop yielding to our selfish desires. Because at the end of the day, like, living for ourselves, the root problem with that is our selfishness. Like, we just want things and want this, and it's such a easy trap to fall into. And honestly, for myself, like, I don't even realize it sometimes. But you go through the months and you're like, I've just been spending all this time doing these things for myself and not really doing much for God. And that's always a convicting thing. And then fourthly, I must say, we must commit our hearts. Commit our hearts. Commit your heart to serving the Lord. Commit your heart to serving the Lord. Remember, you can't be committed to yourself and God. You must choose who and what you will commit your life into. It's a choice. Joshua 24 and verse 15, a great one for this one. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." A great verse of making a choice. We will serve the Lord. And remember what I said in the very beginning about life. It's short. It's very short. You know, it could be an accident tomorrow. You don't know. And we just need to remember life goes quick. So live it for eternity. Live it for eternity, because this life is for a moment, and then it's eternity on. Here today, gone tomorrow, as some would say. And so, I want us to see, we first saw that earthly treasures are temporary. They don't last. Heavenly treasures are eternal. You know, our treasures will never get corrupted. They'll never get stolen. So we have that confidence in that. And then choice of treasure is necessary. It is necessary. We must choose what treasure we are going to lay up in life. We must choose. A good quote Pastor Charles often says, he says, and most of us know this already, but it's very good. He says, "Heaven and earth may pass, but only what's done for Christ shall last." And I thought that sums it up nicely. And then last, I just want to end on a more encouraging note here. I'm just going to read a bit of the song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus." So I'll just read a little bit of this quickly. It's very, goes kind of hand in hand with this and just being content with what we have. It says here in the first line, "Sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day." The chorus says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." I thought that was very good. It's a good reminder. So hopefully this message wasn't super long, but I hope it can just be a challenge, because, you know, it's definitely a challenge to me, because like I said, life goes so quick, and, you know, we need to just look at our own life and just step back from everything and just see, what am I living for? What's my treasure? Where is my heart set at? Because at the end of the day, God looks at our heart. He doesn't care, you know, he doesn't care if we owned Australia. Like, if our heart's set on God, that's all he cares about. So it's not so much what we have, but where our heart's at. And God cares about that. So examine your heart. Ask yourself those questions I mentioned before. And if there's things to change, then talk to God about it. And I know there's definitely things I need to work on in my life, but hopefully this was a challenge to you all this evening.